This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Second down and goal for the Redskins. And into the back of the end zone, it's Sims for the touchdown. And look at Case Keenum.
Yeah, this route is sick, as the kids like to say.
It's a sick route.
And Case is fired up. Watch him do a little setup right here, a little out and up. And Corey Ballantyne, who was in for Beal, is going to get worked right here. Just the out and up, and see how he avoids that contact and works to the back line of the end zone. And Case had the patience to wait for him to come open and delivers the dart, the strike from Case.
It is noon, and that means it is time to go blitzing on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan in 15 minutes at 12:18. What do you make of Dan Snyder being in the locker room to give his opinion to Dwayne Haskins on whether or not Haskins should be playing? Now, the team did issue a statement, and Dwayne Haskins did some damage control and put out a tweet to kind of clean up something that he'd mentioned in his press conference. But the bottom line is, regardless of what he initially said and what was said after, Dan Snyder came down to the locker room during the game to talk with Dwayne Haskins, his handpicked quarterback, and to tell him that he didn't want him to go back into the game. You either think that that's a thing and a problem, or you don't. We will get into that coming up at 12:18. But right now, let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. Danny, let's start with the Redskins.
Yes.
Yesterday's result, 41-35. Haskins completed his first 10 passes, 12 of 15 with a couple of touchdowns before the injury. Case Keenum came off the bench to throttle the Giants' defense as well. Overall, you combine those two guys, three touchdowns and almost 325 passing yards. But defensively, you give up 552 yards and 41 points and lose.
Yeah, the good is that the offense these last 2 weeks is better than it's been all season long. That's not hyperbolic. That's what's happened. Now, they've played a couple bad defenses, certainly, but that's a great sign with a rookie quarterback and a bunch of young wide receivers and no tight end weaponry to speak of and a bunch of backup offensive linemen. When you look at Wes Martin playing, you look at Donald Penn on his millionth team in however many years, and young fill-ins all up and down the field, they're playing okay. The other side, defensively, what the hairy hell is going on?
Can't figure it out. Saquon Barkley goes for 189 on the ground and 90 through the air. I like what I'm seeing from Steven Sims in the slot. I really love Kelvin Harmon after the catch as a secondary option at wide receiver. Terry McLaurin, put him in Sharpie, is a star. There is some development happening offensively that you can feel good about. Makes you wonder if maybe you go defensive with your head coaching search. You keep Kevin O'Connell around, you try to keep building this thing on offense.
Because there's something workable in there, right? When it's almost like you can see the influence, okay? When something works, it may not be fair entirely, by the way, but when something works, you go, ah, that's an O'Connell. When it doesn't, it's Adrian Peterson slamming into the line of scrimmage for a loss of 2 yards. You go, there's Mr. Callahan. It's probably not fair, but I'm telling you, that's the perception. They've made it easier for Dwayne Haskins. Those receivers have come along. They've made it easier for Haskins. Getting Chris Thompson involved in early downs makes it easier for Haskins. That's what you should be doing. Not just Haskins, any quarterback in this league. It's tough enough to get yards. Early down success sets everything else up.
With their loss to the Giants in overtime and the Dolphins beating the Bengals in an overtime of their own, the Redskins leaped a couple of picks up to number 2 in NFL draft positioning going into Week 17. If they lose in Dallas, they will pick 2nd, and very likely they are in the driver's seat for one of the most respected defensive players in the draft in years, Chase Young, the pass rusher from Ohio State, if he decides to come out, is not yet declared for the draft. Let's talk some puck. Tonight, the Caps play the Bruins. They have beaten Boston in 16 of the last 17 games that these two teams have played. The Capitals have 26 wins and just 6 losses in regulation this year. They are, as of this moment, the best team in hockey. If you look at the Metro Division standings, they're not necessarily running away with the division, which is probably a good thing. And the reason for that is because you don't want them to play irrelevant games for 2 months and a month and a half down the stretch. But right now, within their own division, the Capitals sitting in the number one spot with 57 points, 8 more, that's 4 more wins, than the Islanders, 9 more than the Carolina Hurricanes. They have been outstanding. By the way, no team in the NHL within 5 points of Washington right now overall in the standings.
We're rapidly approaching the halfway mark, right? This will be game 38 tonight against the Boston Bruins, okay? With all the early season idiosyncrasies in the schedule, sometimes days off, sometimes crazy travel, West Coast swings, back-to-backs, the different things that go into an NHL schedule. By my count, Grant, they've had three stinkers in 37 games. That's remarkable. Every number they put up is great. Where they come from behind, it doesn't matter. They'll get out to 4-goal leads. They'll throttle teams. They'll hold you down. They beat you in a bunch of different ways. The goal scoring of the point totals of guys like John Carlson and company. They've had three games where you go, they just don't have it tonight. I think that's the most remarkable thing that they've done to this point is the consistency. That, to me, is a credit to Todd Reirden and his staff. It's a credit to the veteran leadership, to the Backstroms, to the Ovechkins, to the John Carlson, got the A on his chest. That's what's that much more amazing to me is over multiple months and crazy scheduling that inevitably happens over 82 games, they've only had three stinkers. I think that's incredible.
You mentioned Carlson. He has 47 points, which is good for seventh in the NHL. If you just look at defensemen, though, he's got 12 more points than any other defenseman, Dougie Hamilton of Carolina, second with 35. Carlson, 13 goals, tied for the most among blue liners with Roman Josi. And if you look at assists, he's got 8 more apples than any other defenseman, 8 more than Keith Yandel right now with 34.
He's so good.
He looks like he's in line for the Norris Trophy. Meanwhile, if you're looking at the goal total so far this season, Alex Ovechkin sitting at 22. 6 behind Boston's David Pastrnak. So you'll have 2 of the top 4 goal scorers in the NHL on the ice tonight.
I'd like to keep up this whole beat the Bruins every time they play the Bruins thing. The streak is bound to come to an end at some point, right? I'm not ready to have it come to an end just yet, though. Let's just keep doing it. Let's get in their heads.
Let's talk hoops. 8-20 Washington, 7-23 New York. We've been talking a lot of draft positioning for the Redskins. Tonight is a draft pick kind of game for the Wizards and the Knicks. Albeit early as well. It sounds like the Wiz are down a bunch of bodies.
Yeah, so a whole bunch of guys are hurt. Then you add in Isaiah Thomas suspension. You're still dealing with long-term injuries. The guys like Thomas Bryant and company. They may only have 8 players suiting up tomorrow night. Maybe, you know, guys from the go-go notwithstanding who might become active. I'm not sure what the two-way rules are at this point. But the Knicks are a mess. They have 11 power forwards. They don't know what to do. They tried to clear the deck to go get themselves a max contract player that was good. They failed at that, so they overpaid for guys like Julius Randle and Taj Gibson, and they're gross and they're terrible. The Wizards should still be able to take care of business. But you're seeing some encouraging things from some of the Wizards' young pieces. Now, I cannot pronounce this guy's name. They just call him AP on the telecast because they can't do it either. On Zedges... Pasignik's Swami Samsonite.
David Pastrnak,
apparently. 7-foot center. You got a couple Latvians in the lineup when you talk Davis Bertans. And this kid, AP, he's played well, which has been encouraging. Some of the young guys are getting some minutes here, and that's good.
7 o'clock tip at Madison Square Garden with the Knicks tonight. The Wizards schedule ahead 8-20, as I mentioned, against 7-23 New York. They play them twice. Between now and Saturday, they've got the game tonight. They play the Pistons on Thursday, and then they're they're hosting New York back in D.C. on Saturday against the Knicks again. Real quick on Isaiah Thomas, your thoughts on him going into the crowd.
He handled himself, I said this morning in the Junks, he handled himself very well once he went into the crowd. Don't go into the crowd. We shouldn't have that conversation. Good for Isaiah Thomas for not losing it and not escalating it, not making it worse. Bad for Isaiah Thomas to do that. He deserves the suspension. Players should not do that. It's a binary. I understand it's not fair. There's a lot of things that aren't fair. It's pro sports. The eye's on you. The fan got his. The two fans got theirs. They got banned. They got punished. That's correct. Do not go into the stands under any circumstance.
Yeah, I'll double down on that. He handled himself fine when he got there. That you could say that. That's cool.
I don't care
about that at all. Do not go into the crowd. Nothing good will happen. Best case scenario, you're calm, they're calm, they get kicked out, you go back to the bench. Worst case scenario, you get punched, something happens, someone throws something at you, it escalates, and we got a Malice at the Palace too. It cannot be tolerated. It's completely ridiculous that he did it. I don't really care what anyone's yelling. There's this new thing now where, you know, players, and they are victims of people saying and yelling terrible things. They have been for many, many years. People didn't just start flicking you off for the first time this week. They didn't just start cursing at you and screaming at you. Now, all of a sudden, you know, it's becoming less okay for players to have to deal with it. It's not okay that you can just go into the crowd. You have to deal with it. This is what you sign up for. Either people are going to be mean to you and scream at you and you're going to deal with that, or you don't get to play in the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball. You got to pick one or the other. I don't get to just scream at people if they come up to me and say they don't like me in person, right? When someone tweets us something terrible, you don't get to just be an idiot. You just act like an adult and deal with it because we have a job where we're in public eye, and while we deal with a lesser extent of it,
it's a fraction of what they deal with, but still
very much a fraction.
You have to make that value decision.
Part of the process. That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. Kevin in Arlington, want to squeeze you in on Bill Callahan. What do you got?
Kevin. Hey, guys. Start off, happy holidays.
You too.
Second, I'm totally with you. You guys are absolutely right on this, and Callahan is wrong. However, I've been racking my brain thinking, what was he thinking? And the only thing I could come up with, and then I heard Kevin Sheehan on the other network earlier this morning talking about this. I guess he deluded himself into thinking, well, we stopped them twice in a row, and we drove the field twice in a row in the fourth quarter. We'll be able to stop them again, whether we win the toss or not, and we're going to win. But I agree with you. What he should have done is go for the two. I'm grateful we didn't get it. I'm grateful we lost, but played heroically.
Appreciate you.
Well said, buddy.
Yeah, it worked out in their favor. I think a lot of times, though, we work back from the result. Did something go the way that you wanted it to or not? And we say it was okay. It doesn't make it okay. It's the same as, you know, Dan Snyder, and we're going to talk about this next, going into the locker room with Dwayne Haskins. Well, we like that he didn't go back onto the game hurt, so then we say it's fine that he went down there and made sure that he didn't. It doesn't mean it was the right thing to do. If the guy that runs Entercom at the very, very, very highest level comes and sits next to me right now and critiques me every segment.
Let's say that he's right about his critique. Don't
cool.
do that.
It's a terrible process.
Yeah.
There are checks and balances. I have a boss. That boss has a boss. That boss has a boss. They all eventually get to that guy. Well, let's talk about Snyder in the locker room with Dwayne Haskins next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. So yesterday, during his press conference, Dwayne Haskins had mentioned that he didn't go back into the game because the owner of the Washington Redskins, Dan Snyder, didn't want him to. A lot of the reporters had tweeted this out. It was all over the internet. Everyone was going crazy and having a field day. And it was pretty obvious that this was growing hair and the legs were lengthening and it was starting to take off and run on its own. But I'll just read one of the tweets. It's just the first one I grabbed. Everybody tweeted this out, but this was John Keim of ESPN. Redskins quarterback Dwayne Haskins said owner Dan Snyder told him not to return to the game after his injury. Haskins said x-rays were negative, but he will get an MRI. Haskins said he lobbied to return, but obviously failed. Snyder was in the locker room and came down and talked to Haskins is kind of how it developed as they poked and they prodded on that. And so it stands to reason. This is the guy, Dan Snyder, who handpicked Haskins. We know this when the coaching staff and the football people said, maybe not. So this is his guy. Part of the story. This is the same guy that empowered Robert Griffin. And basically, if you tracked 2012, whether you care or you don't now, whether it's important to you or it isn't, he clearly had a relationship with Griffin that undercut Mike and Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur and all the other guys like Sean McVay that were here at that time trying to groom Robert Griffin. His personal relationship, you know, he paid for his honeymoon and they hung out together and they did all the things he did with Griffin. He likes players. He likes quarterbacks specifically, but he likes players and he becomes buddy-buddy with them. So either you acknowledge the past and that this is a major story and alarming and problematic, or you say that, yeah, all those things in the past are true, we know that, But this is different because he's just protecting his quarterback, and owners are always going to protect their major investments, their quarterbacks. It's not that weird that he went to the locker room. I just think that thinking that way, like some people are doing that where they're going, an owner going down to check on his first-round quarterback and to tell him not to go back into the game is not that big of a deal. And maybe that sentence in and of itself is not.
There you go.
But you can't ignore everything else here. Why would you do that?
Now, again, I said this on Twitter last night. I'm at Funny Dandy, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. This is probably like not even the top 17 things that Snyder has done wrong this week. Okay? This is not a criminal offense. This is not a capital crime. Nobody's saying anything other than, hey, this is weird, or this isn't a great process, or hey, remember all these times past, okay? But what's happening is everyone's arguing against the simple, basic, unequivocal truth of this, and it's become more because of that. I don't know if that made any sense. The point I'm making is I was just going to tweet about it once. I made one zing about it last night. Kyler Murray gets hurt for the Cardinals, and I'm like, what did Michael Bidwell tell him to do? Did he go down there and tell him to follow medical advice or not? I made a zing about that. And then next thing you know, I'm arguing with people for hours on Twitter, and I tweeted 15 times about something that I was going to make one joke about once and move on with my life. It's become a thing because people are arguing about it, even defending Dan Snyder. A guy with a well-earned and correct reputation for meddling, for playing favorites, plays favorites yesterday, and people don't think it's that big of a deal. I'm baffled by it. Baffled. Have you paid attention to the Redskins for more than 7 seconds in the 21 years that this jackass has owned the franchise? Have you seen anything that's happened before? He plays favorites. This little particular case is not that huge of a deal. It's not. He went down there to support his guy. Did he go down there when Morgan Moses got hurt? When Ryan Kerrigan got hurt? Did he go down there when franchise stalwarts who have done nothing but go hard for this team and produce have been injured along the way? What did he do for Brandon Scherff? I understand it's not the exact same, but my point is you need to make it the exact same. If he goes down there for everybody, then I'll shut up. I'll be quiet. But he didn't. He picked a certain person who, in his mind, is the next flavor of the month, who's a guy that's going to make him a bunch of money, the bright, smiling kid who's a quarterback who's got a chance to make the Redskins good again. He picked that guy as his favorite. And anybody that's around the league that looks at it will go, he'll probably do that the next time. He'll side with the player over me next time. Why am I coming here? It's not good. Is it the worst thing in the world? No. Is it good? Absolutely not.
I want to double click on that, and I want to add something to it. But first, let's get some breaking news because we do have some word on the severity of Dwayne Haskins' injury coming in right now. Let's go to our update desk.
I'm Earl Forsey with breaking sports news from The Fan, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019. Get your first refill pack for free. So some word on Dwayne Haskins' ankle injury suffered yesterday in the loss to the Giants. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, reporting a few moments ago, it has been diagnosed now as a high ankle sprain. We didn't know much about it after the game yesterday. He was going to get an MRI, according to Rap Sheet. The rookie QB has a high ankle sprain. He'll be monitored throughout the week before any final decision is made about his possible playing status for Sunday's season finale in Philadelphia. Of course, we will hear from head coach Bill Callahan today as well with breaking sports news from the Fan Sports Desk. Earl Forsey, Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan.
So there you go. There's Earl with the update, and we appreciate him getting us up to speed. High ankle sprain, Rap Sheet says. So a couple of things. Number one, that's better than the alternative. You know, you could have had one of these surprisingly worse than we all expected items come out after x-rays and MRIs are pondered and looked over and all those things. Generally speaking, for high ankle sprains, you miss a game or two. I cannot believe there's any scenario where they would have Dwayne Haskins push through this and get on the field against Dallas. I'm sure he'll advocate to play against the Cowboys, but I have to imagine we've seen the end of him for this season. A high ankle sprain can be as much as a month-long recovery before you're 100%. And sometimes it's 2-3 games. And you could probably play through it, potentially. I'm sure there are guys that have on the offensive or defensive lines or something like that. But as a quarterback, we saw him limping all over the joint a couple of weeks ago against Green Bay. I'm just not interested in that. It is a shame because I wanted to see him play against Dallas. Better defense than Philly. Much better defense than New York. Need the game badly, unlike the Giants yesterday. I think that would have been an excellent test to really see where he's at. But you can't force it, and if he's got a high ankle sprain, just sit him out and let him go into the offseason and start to heal.
Sure. Again, this isn't a toughness contest. This is not a what can you go through. We're not playing for the NFC title here. This is not a bowl game for Byron Leftwich at Marshall. This is a hugely important figure, and this is about being able to move around and protect yourself. If you're at risk for worse, you don't play him in this game. So, again, rehab, go through the process, get as many reps as you can or stay off it, whatever. Give him as much experience as possible. And if it's up to me, I'm probably sitting him due to that. But, again, I never know with high ankle sprains or any kind of injury for that matter. I'm always stunned at how long things take or don't take. And we attribute these things to players about his recovery skills. It's almost like a rating in Madden that this guy recovers better than somebody else. And when someone doesn't recover quickly, we hold it against him for some reason. But I mean, high ankle sprains can keep guys out for months. The name I always bring up is Steven Alexander. Had a high ankle sprain in 2001, missed months. He was supposed to come back every week, just never did, and was never the same guy for the Redskins as a pass catching tight end. So you never know. You never know with these things. One game left means absolutely nothing. You know, Case Keenum, you take the reps, buddy. Or Colt, whoever the hell you want to throw out there. I don't care.
Exactly. I'll get into the Snyder part of what you just hit on a minute ago. We had to get to the breaking news next. And if you guys have a thought, this is what we're talking about now at 800-636-1067. Dan Snyder in the locker room. After the fact, Haskins kind of damage control came back and cleaned up and said, look, this was really the doctor's decision. And Dr. Robin West had a statement saying, I evaluated Dwayne. I never cleared him to play. I'm not saying that the doctors weren't involved. I'm not saying that they didn't go through the proper protocol. Here's what I care about. Dan Snyder was in the locker room talking to Dwayne Haskins and deciding during the game in some way or giving his opinion on what should happen. Why? And if you don't think that's a big deal, I could see if this was Atlanta and it was Matt Ryan and Ziggy Wolf, or is that the right guy, or is that Minnesota?
That's Minnesota.
Arthur Blank? Arthur Blank. If Arthur Blank is talking to Matt Ryan, okay, cool, whatever. I get it. This is not that. This is Dan Snyder and Robert Griffin. This is Dan Snyder taking Dwayne Haskins and kind of telling everyone this is my guy. 800-636-1067 is the number on G&D. Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcome back, and thanks for listening. You can call us at 800-636-1067. Dan Snyder was in the locker room yesterday. Dwayne Haskins said Snyder counseled him on not going back into the game. After the fact, the Redskins put out a statement, and Haskins clarified, saying the doctors were obviously the reason he didn't go back into the game. But in some ways, the damage had already been done because we knew that Dan Snyder left his owner's box to go down to the locker room to talk to Haskins. And there is certainly an element of fans and media that say, this is not a story. This is nothing. The owner going to the locker room happens, even though I'm looking for other stories. I don't hear about it that often. But it's your quarterback. It's the guy you just drafted. And my point is, you cannot say that Snyder was in the locker room talking to Haskins without acknowledging that a guy got fired a handful of weeks ago that was upset as the head coach of the team, that they spent the 15th pick on Haskins because it was Dan Snyder's handpicked guy. You can't say that without also acknowledging the background of Robert Griffin's career, of Snyder being overly involved in the relationship with Griffin and his dad, and if you believe Mike Shanahan, kind of basically undercutting that coaching staff at every turn with a quarterback that Snyder thought was well on his way to becoming the next big thing in the National Football League. I just think past has to be prologue here. So you're either unaware of the past with Dan Snyder's involvement with players, going around the people that are set up to actually do this.
Well, like anyone from Clinton Portis, honestly, who had the owner's ear.
Exactly, but medical staff, training staff, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the general manager, which they don't really have, but Bruce Allen. There's a bunch of people that are in line before Dan Snyder in a healthy situation. And I mentioned this earlier, Danny. It doesn't mean that his decision was wrong. Dwayne Haskins shouldn't have played if he had a high ankle sprain. Someone else could and should be the person talking to him in that room. And I'm sure if Dan Snyder didn't go down there, Dwayne Haskins wouldn't have played because Dr. Robin Wright, who had the statement, or somebody else would have, Robin West, I guess it is, would have come out and said, you're not going back in, you're not medically cleared, or maybe it would have been Callahan, or maybe it would have been O'Connell. Somebody would have made that call. But if the president of Entercom, David Field, decides that he walks into the studio today and he's going to pull up a chair and sit right next to me and you. And then we go to break and he goes, hey guys, I want you to promote this app that you're not promoting well enough. And when you went to break, you said this phrase and I want you to say another phrase.
Here's what you did wrong.
He might be completely correct. His critiques might be True. And maybe if we promoted something a little differently or if we tweaked something just a little bit, our ratings go up some. It doesn't mean the process is correct. It doesn't mean he should sit here. He's got a guy that he emails, who emails another person, who emails another person, who eventually emails CK, who has a meeting with you and I. That's the protocol. Just walking down to the locker room to talk to your quarterback, and I know you'll have a person, whether it's a fan or an owner, say, or a media member saying, oh, the owner of the quarterback relationship, this is different. It's not a guard. Fine. You need to stop pretending like 2012 didn't happen, like this isn't the same guy with LeVar, with Portis, who always picks his favorites, and it doesn't always create issues with other players. Always.
So the defense or the argument against us that I see a lot is he showed concern for his franchise guy. I am all in favor of showing concern.
Great.
It's the same argument that people have, and this is a totally different subject, but a guy pops out and throws his bat and throws a temper tantrum. He cares. He's passionate. I'd rather see that than the other. You think the other guy that popped out isn't passionate? The other guy that popped out that is so pissed off but doesn't throw a temper tantrum? This is my point. There's the idea that the only way to show concern is to leave the owner's box and go rushing down there like it's an injured pet on the highway is ludicrous. You could, of course, show concern. Go down after the game or send word or do a million other things. You could even sit there and observe if you have to do it. The idea that he's weighing in and giving advice to tell you got to follow the doctor's orders. The whole thing is so problematic. The other defense I see is, well, maybe he doesn't trust the medical staff. Well, you don't get to have that right. Keep employing them. If you don't trust them, then they should be fired on the spot. There's no way this is okay. It's also not that bad, but we're having to do this because people are arguing against us.
If this was another situation, like if this was Jerry Jones, where he's also the general manager, maybe it's different. But if this was just your random owner, where there is a team president and a GM, and he's not also the GM, so to speak, I would say this doesn't bode well for your front office. This is a bad look. He obviously doesn't trust Bruce. He doesn't trust whoever works under Bruce, to get this right. So he is just taking it into his own hands. But I don't think you can leap to that lily pad. I think this is just a guy. One of the biggest cultural issues in Ashburn, in my opinion, is that people who get hired are not empowered to do their job. I hire you. You're supposed to be the person doing that job, but I'm actually going to do it for you and micromanage whenever I want to. It's one of Snyder's biggest problems. This is exactly what this is.
The manifestation of that.
It's exactly what happened yesterday. And if you don't acknowledge that, I don't really know what to tell you. I can't help you. Then you haven't read enough in the Redskins history book. You haven't been here long enough, or you're just choosing to ignore those things and say this is different. Why give him the benefit of the doubt? What has he done to earn that? Steve's in Bethesda on the Fan. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
It's funny you mentioned Arthur Blank earlier. He actually did do the same thing with Michael Vick back in the day. But I want to mention another character in this drama, and that is Daniel Snyder's son. I see him on the field before the game. I see him on the sidelines. I see him in the tunnel. He's an adult. He's tight with Dwayne Haskins. And I just wonder if Haskins has his ear, if there's some connection there. Just another guy to think about. That's all.
I don't know how close they are, because I honestly don't know their ages. For all I know, they weren't even in high school at the exact same time at Bullis.
Could have been in eighth grade when a guy was a senior. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what.
No idea. But here's what I know. Dan Snyder's been really good friends with players when his son was a kid and they were adults. I mean, he doesn't have to have a connection through the son, even though they both went to Bullis High School. You're the quarterback of the team that I handpicked, and I'm Dan Snyder. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I'm right. And if that means you tell me you want fill-in-the-blank offense run, I'll do it, Robert Griffin. If that means you want this coach to have less power and I'll give another guy more power, we'll figure that out too. You tell me what you need. That's the problem. Marcus in College Park, how's it going? Marcus, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
This should come as a sucker punch to any serious fan of this franchise, thinking that just getting rid of the coach, just getting rid of Bruce Allen, revamping the front office, revamping the operation will make any difference at all. It's not going to make a difference if they get Chase Young. They've blown up many, many prospects that had a ton of potential to change this team around. They actually had a guy that was the next coming of Lawrence Taylor already once before, LeVar Arrington, and he actually paid his way out of town. This is a serious, serious sign that nothing will change despite the fact that we're going to see a gigantic sea change of the faces and the players below Dan Snyder, but Dan Snyder does not change, so this franchise will never get better. Thank you very much, man.
Marcus! Yeah, where you been?
Dude!
How about it? Back! We thought he was gone forever.
That was cool. It took a couple days before Christmas, and it took Dan Snyder leaving the owner's
miracle
box to tell Dwayne Haskins to listen to his doctors, but Marcus came back.
He must be on the motorcycle more because he doesn't call as much. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll get a couple more of your calls on Snyder going into the locker room to counsel Haskins yesterday. Also on Grant and Danny, your preview of Monday Night Football, the Vikings and the Packers. You're listening to The Fan. Monday Night Football tonight, 11-3 Green Bay, 10-4 Minnesota, 8:15 kick from U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Joe Tessitore, Booger McFarland, Lisa Salters on the call on ESPN. The Vikings are 5.5-point favorites, meaning they get the 3 for being at home, and then Vegas likes them by 2.5
as
being
do.
Better than Green Bay right now. Stunning considering, number one, that the Packers pummeled them early this year, have a better record. But then also, the Vikings are without Dalvin Cook, their top running back. In fact, they're without their two top running backs.
No Madison tonight either.
Yeah, because Madison is also going to be on the shelf, so they're going to go with Mike Boone. Alexander Mattison would be getting the call, and probably, you know, while you miss some explosiveness and some stuff in the passing game and the screen game without Dalvin Cook, could fill in for him as a ball carrier. Cook's got a chest injury, and then Mattison, questionable with an ankle injury, isn't expected to go. So Mike Boone, third stringer, second year undrafted free agent out of Cincinnati, coming off 13 carries, 56 yards, and a touchdown against the Chargers, going to get the call. But this is just going to have to be Kirk Cousins. You know, they haven't really gotten anything out of Adam Thielen since the early fall. He's been injured, missed a lot of time. It's his second game back. Stephon Diggs has filled in for him as the number one and made some big plays. Kyle Rudolph is their red zone option at tight end. They throw the ball to Irv Smith, their secondary tight end, a lot as well. But it's going to be a fascinating game. If Green Bay wins, they're the NFC North champions. The Vikings are probably the sixth seed. If Minnesota wins, they have a chance in Week 17 with a win to win the NFC North, which would mean they'd get to go to the NFC East champion, probably Philadelphia or Dallas, which would be a great first-round playoff matchup if they can pull that off for Cousins and the Vikings. If they lose, then they're probably, I would think, traveling to Green Bay, but they could also still end up having to play in, say, Seattle or something like that.
Right. Listen, the easiest thing to do is just handle your business and win the game and
yeah.
figure out what else happens later. You don't want to be in that if this, then this, but if that, then that, then we double down and figure out and there's a tide, the plane doesn't take off. You don't want to do that.
Is that a Cowboys joke?
I don't even think about that, but yeah.
You heard about that, right?
I did, yeah.
They sat on the, I don't even think it was the runway. They sat outside of the stadium in buses, like they didn't go to the airport, just on the bus after losing their most painful game of the year.
Just awkward silence.
For hours.
Just got nationals, you know what I mean, on some of their early season road trips.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, for the Vikings, this is a, all right. Cousins, you got Thielen back, hopefully. He's Thielening at this stage. You, Diggs, Thielen. Let's go. Let's go offense because you got to put up some points to beat Green Bay tonight.
I'll be curious to see if Thielen looks like himself because he's going to have to be
yet.
Great. Well, he only played the one game, and I think he caught 3 balls,
uh-huh.
right? Did he play 2 games or 1 so far?
I think it's 2, but he's been eased back in.
Okay.
I think it's 2.
He had a 3-catch performance in his return, and then I'm not sure since then. But point being, he has not really been Adam Thielen yet, and he's going to have to be in the playoffs if they are going to win. Because just having Stephon Diggs at wide receiver and then secondary kind of scrap heap type players isn't good enough.
You're right, it's just one. So his last game was when he got hurt back in the beginning of November. He kept getting delayed. So he's only had one game under
his belt.
That
was the Chargers game. What was his line?
3 for 27.
Yeah.
I mean, just not doing all that much.
But they didn't throw the ball a lot in the second half.
Right.
They were up huge. They scored 40-plus points, and they killed the Chargers.
Only in half the snaps.
Yeah, so tonight could be, you know, a coming-out party maybe for him. But it'll be interesting because Cousins has never won a game on Monday Night Football. Everyone over-talks about that, even though he's played for a bad Redskins team and then played pretty well in losses for Minnesota a couple times. He's obviously also had stinkers on Monday night where he was the reason his team's lost. But there have been plenty of times where he probably should have been able to win because he played well enough. And everyone over talks about how he's 0-8. So if he wins, you know, we'll move the goalposts again, I'm sure. But it is a great chance for him this evening on Monday Night Football. The calls are still coming in on Dan Snyder being in the locker room, though, with Dwayne Haskins during the game yesterday. Tony wants to weigh in South Carolina on the radio.com app. Best way to listen to us if you're not in the area or near a radio. What's up, Tony? How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good morning.
Hey, man, I actually, believe it or not, I have no problem with Daniel Snyder being in the locker room talking to him.
Why?
But it's simple, because Daniel has been quiet, whether you want to, believe it or not, Daniel's been quiet for a little while.
And for how long's a little while?
You talk about the last 4 or 5 years, he hasn't made as much noise. It's been kind of Bruce Allen doing all of this stuff.
Oh, he drafted Dwayne Haskins without the football people in his building wanting to draft him.
He said that he wanted Haskins. You guys make it happen. And Bruce went for it. As the owner, he has that right.
Okay, but that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean he's quiet though. He's still pulling the strings.
But it's not like it was with the Vinny Serrano era. And what I'm saying now, what he did this time, he knew was blatant and would get a lot of media. I think he's at this shows us that he's, like you said, he's disgruntled with the medical staff. He's done with Bruce Allen. He's not on the field with them anymore for the games. This is Dan basically saying, you know what? Screw it. I'm back to doing it my way because I'm so pissed off with you guys. Which tells me he's going to fire everybody.
All right, that's fair. You know what? It's a good call, but let me ask you this. It's a good phone call. What if he doesn't fire the medical staff, and what if he doesn't fire Bruce Allen?
If he doesn't fire everybody.
Because you're assuming he will. What if that doesn't happen?
So I can't say anything like giving up the Redskins because that's not going to happen. But I do know that's going to happen. I do know that's going
to
happen.
No, but Tony, I'm saying specific to your point that this was okay because it signifies that he's done with those guys. Let's say that it doesn't, and it was just him again. Haskins is his guy, like Griffin was his guy.
Wait a minute. What if this means he's done with the coach? Because the coach had Dwayne out there playing last couple weeks ago with a bad ankle.
Well, I'm sure he's done with the coach. The coach will be out of here in a couple weeks. But my point is, we saw this act with Robert Griffin, where it was the owner and the quarterback undercutting the people that matter. You are explaining away where it's just Bill Callahan. Okay. It's the process that's the problem.
So
what about the next coach and the next quarterback? If he always goes back to this routine, that's bad.
Let's say he fires every person underneath him in the organization. You still shouldn't go into the locker room when your prize quarterback is hurt and weigh in on medical procedures and advice and whatever else, right? Let's say he fires the medical staff. Well, then if you didn't trust them, you've employed them for years while your injuries have mounted. That's not okay. If you're overruling them or weighing in on them or your voice, you have to understand who you are in that room. You are the owner of the football team. So when you go, you know, now you need to do this, right? It's like I get this fight all the time with my wife where I will tell my child something and then the child will immediately look to his mom. And then mom might overrule me. And it's like, you just undercut me. You just made it so they don't have to listen to me. They only listen to you when you're in the room, right? It's the doctor's advice is no longer valid unless Dan Snyder says so.
Well, I also don't know where, you know, people say he's been quieter because you see less of him.
Yeah, he's not in public.
Because he's not doing TV interviews. What are we basing this on? A few months ago, he took over the first round of the draft. That's what I was told. That's what I reported. That's what other people reported. Now, it just so happened that it worked out. They didn't have to trade up to get Haskins. But what I was told is if they had to do that, they would have done that. I guess color me skeptical when people say, oh, he's in the back seat now. I just think Bruce Allen's the target, so Dan Snyder gets to kind of sit back there, and he's not talked about as much. Doug's in Potomac on the Fan. Hey, Doug, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, man.
So, look, I'm not a huge fan of Daniel Snyder. I've been a fan of the team for 40-plus years and a season ticket holder, no longer. But what I actually don't see a huge issue here, in part because – we don't know exactly what he said. Now, if he said to Dwayne Haskins, look, man, you don't need to feel the need to go in there and play if the doctors are telling you not to go in, because what we do know about the RG3 situation is that he shouldn't have been in there. And a lot of that was hard-headedness on the part of RG3 going back in when he should not have been in that Seattle game. And so, you know, I just think that if he said, look, don't play, that's one thing. But if he was like, look, man, we've got the confidence in you. You're going to be part of the long-term future. You don't need to feel like you've got to risk your career to go out there today. I don't have a problem with that. This is a huge investment that the owner has made in this player. And look, if he needs to assert himself this way, then so be it. Again, I'm not a defender of this man, but I do think in this particular situation, depending upon what he said to him, I don't have a real problem with it.
So, Doug, if he said what you're saying, which I'm assuming is probably the case, he goes down to support him and say, hey, man, we got this. We'll win this one for you. Don't go back in the game. Don't risk more injury. My issue is not what he told him. He could say that, or he could tell him something that I hated. It doesn't matter. The fact that he's in the locker room with the quarterback talking about his health, that's my issue. There's a scene in Knocked Up that I love where Seth Rogen is arguing with Leslie Mann, and they're about to have the birth of this baby, and Leslie Mann comes to the hospital, and she goes, hey, okay, I'm good now. I'm here. Like, you leave. He goes, no. If you think you're about to deliver my baby and I'm just going to leave here, you're crazy. And he goes, there's a room over there with a vending machine. That's your room. This room right here where the baby is, where the girl is that's having the baby that is my girlfriend, this is my room. Vending machine room, your room, this is my room. The locker room between 1 and 4 is not Dan's room. It's not. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what he wants to say to someone. It's not his room. And if this was a first game owner who's never been here before, that would be different. This is not that. We've got a history. Now, EB just texted me, by the way, and this is a great point. He says, another great example of what you're talking about with Dan and the empowerment, I think, of the quarterback. He says, Baker Mayfield was empowered and basically hired Freddie Kitchens. That was his guy. Basically, that was, I don't want to say Baker handpicked him, but the reason Freddie Kitchens got that job was the advocacy of Baker Mayfield and the development of Baker Mayfield. How's that working out? He said, you know, obviously, Dwayne Haskins and Dan Snyder's relationship, you lead to would you think it's crazy if Dan Snyder is polling Dwayne Haskins on who to hire as head coach? I don't think that's out of the possibility. Should that be how we do this? But if you have a healthy relationship and boundaries, it's less likely that happens.
So when you say he made an investment in a player, he did. They drafted a guy in the first round. They made investments to free agents. Is he going down there when Landon Collins hurts himself? It's just what I can't get past is because he said a good thing, right? People can't see past that part, right? Where Dan Snyder did a smart, judicious, correct assessment in that moment. And that's, I suppose, he deserves credit for that. But you don't do that. If your process is so broken that it takes the owner to say, follow medical advice. Because when you harken back to the Griffin situation, he was, quote, medically cleared. And all our eyeballs are like, oh, my God, this dude can't move. Mike, what the hell are you doing? And he went, well, he was cleared. And that was all that. He wasn't cleared. The doctor puts out a statement that says he's not cleared to play. We don't have mechanisms in place that can prevent a kid from playing when he's not cleared to play. This is how broken we are. It takes the owner to go, I better go down there and weigh in. Good Lord, cancel everything.
Chris just said, I'd rather have Snyder intervening than Bruce. Not what we're talking about. Nothing to do with anything. I think a more engaged Snyder is good for the team. What? He's got 20 years of time to mature as an owner. I want him involved.
Oh, my God.
Nothing makes sense.
My eyes just started bleeding.
Redskins fans, I don't know what you want. Don't have him involved. Have him involved. By the way, he could have 100 years. He has no backing in football. I don't think he's been to medical school. He's got an expertise. It ain't in the locker room at 2:47 on Sunday. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.